Welcome to the Whole Point Podcast, where you'll learn how to do life with more freedom, fun, and peace. I'm Serena Talbot, an intuitive business coach, helping business owners reach their goals without sacrificing their health, families, or souls.
And I'm Christy Bartelt, an inner healing mentor. I help women love themselves and their lives. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Today, we're talking about what is authenticity and how do we get some? I feel like, you know, Brené Brown came out how long ago was that? Was that like a decade ago? How long has Brené Brown been around?
I'm trying to think because her TED Talk is when I first encountered her, the TED Talk on vulnerability. I'd have to look, but it's for sure 10 years, right?
So I feel like the birth of authenticity as a cultural phenomena came from Queen Brené. And I can remember hearing it and resonating with the word, being like, yeah, I want some of that. I'm being like, what is that? Like, I don't fully understand it. And even reading her books and being like, okay, I think I get it, but I don't totally know how to like live it or call more of it into my body. And I feel really lucky that through, you know, the great teachers that I've had and even my clients and watching them embody authenticity as they heal, I really feel like I have this inside me now as something I understand. And it fits so beautifully as we are continuing to climb that emotional scale. And this week we are landing at the level of acceptance and understanding, which is where authenticity actually lives. If it had a home, its home would be in the address, the neighborhood of.
Yes. 2013. So 7 years ago was that.
Oh, wow.
TED Talk, probably maybe 7.5 years ago.
Think about how much has shifted in, for women specifically since 2013 and this understanding of courage and vulnerability and what it leads to.
Do you think she got downloaded in 2012? Like all the people, like 2012 is like just this year.
Yeah. They're like, we got to fix it. Yeah. We got to fix it in advance of 2020 is what we're going to need to do.
That's what the universe is like. You're going to need 8 years. Yeah. And the vulnerability, what I love, and I mean, anybody that's been listening to our podcast will know, is that she's like, oh, I have to go back and deal with my past. Like she didn't want to. And that that resonated with me so much.
I feel like you and Brené had the same moment at the therapist where you're like, I'm not doing it. Where's the pill?
Exactly. Like, okay. I think she said that and it was so funny because it was like, 2 years after I had started, she's like, okay, I just want to be better, but let's just not deal with the past. Let's just, come on. We don't need to go there. And I love that about her very much.
I have to just, for all of you who were like not ready to deal with the past, and I'm sure I wasn't for a long time and didn't even realize it, but I have to say, if I had skipped that step, I wouldn't be half as any bit of wisdom that I actually have, like any like fraction of my wisdom would not exist.
Now, I love it. Now it's my job. It's where I hang out with people. I hang out with people in that space that most people don't want to go because I love it so much because it was so powerful when I actually did it. But it was the last thing in the world that I wanted to do.
And so let's do it. Okay. What is it? What is authenticity?
To me, it's being your true self, figuring out who you really are and showing up and being seen and all of that. It's on a soul level, permission to be yourself.
And this is why it was so hard to understand, right? Because you get there and you're like, yeah, I want that. And then you're like, but who am I?
Well, there's a lot of different things because it's releasing people pleasing. So what what we really want is we want to be popular. That's what I really want.
Yep. Yeah. And liked. Like, I want people to love me.
There's that difference between everybody loving me and then showing up as my real self. Those are very different things. And
they live on different parts of the scale.
We want to have the freedom to be ourselves, but then we don't want people not to like us. Mm-hmm. And living at that level is not caring if people like you or not. You're free to be yourself.
Because you like you.
Because you like you, and it's not a popularity contest. And so that's when you can break out of societal norms. You can say things maybe that aren't popular. You can be yourself in this more authentic way and not be held back by what are other people going to think.
So the reason this fits where we're at on the scale is because when you're truly living at the level of authenticity, you are actually living on the emotional scale at understanding and acceptance. So the idea of wanting authenticity lives lower. It lives near anger. It lives in desire. That space because yes. Desire resides there. And that's that not having need to fight for something. So at that level where you want to be authentic, but you aren't yet, you're fighting to try to prove your authenticity, to prove that you're worth being your true self. And this is why neutrality, which we spoke about in the past podcast, is so important, because it's hard to pass, well, you can't pass directly from desiring authenticity to being so understanding and accepting, which is where it actually lives and exists. You have to first neutralize things. So you're like, oh, well, like coming and going, whatever. You have to be there, which is not authenticity. That's giving too few Fs, if you will. How we get there is this really beautiful place. And if we're going on the how many Fs you give about something, right? Acceptance and understanding are the giving just the right amount of Fs.
It's caring about people, you know, because that's the other thing is it's like, well, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care if I'm not popular, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's also not healthy if we're not able to accept other people, if you're still against, you know, where if it's the rebelling against other people.
And honestly, you do care about other people. Like, even if you're saying that, like,
you're attached to them, your identity. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that is counterwill. So we, in a past episode that we talked about, but yeah, how do you do it? So how do you just not care what people think? I mean, I spent years, holy cow, caring so much what people thought. I would, and I've shared on other podcasts, I'm beginning to feel like the longer we do the podcast, the more I'm just like, sorry, guys, I'm repeating this story.
They're like important stories.
Kids, my kids are like, oh, here's the story again. But I would care so much what other people thought about me that if I had a conversation in a small group or, you know, went out to dinner, I would go home and I would analyze it and I'd be like, oh no, I never should have said that. And, you know, I didn't have any freedom about this. And I would actually call people and apologize. And they'd be like, don't know what you're talking about. Like, I was so far.
This is the level of fear, right? You're exactly what you're speaking of is that idea that there's something shameful or you have something to feel guilty and you might get in trouble. So you called to apologize. You were doing a repair of something that actually wasn't, you hadn't done wrong in order to avoid getting in trouble for it.
So that is not living at the level of authenticity when you care so much what people think. And then neutrality is don't care at all.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
And then we go back to this healthy level of caring.
Because healthy caring looks a lot different. It looks like, oh, I hurt you. Let me understand that. How did that happen? Because it's, you're not in self-judgment of your, you're not judging yourself and you're also not judging the other person for being hurt. You're just in a level of like, oh wow, we've had a miscommunication, a misunderstanding. Let's come to understanding. Tell me more about that. And you're able to, I mean, this is where really good listeners live. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed in this level, it's the ability to feel your feelings and not be responsible for other people's feelings, right? In the way that you have to fix them. You're responsible in that you're curious to understand other people's feelings and perspective, but you don't think you caused them or are responsible for changing them.
Absolutely. It's that self, it's a level of confidence with I am doing my best and you are doing your best. And so if there is something where I hurt you or you hurt me, let's sit down and talk about it and listen to each other because we're both doing our best. We're both working on the goal of having a happy life or whatever it is. No one's out to get somebody. I'm not out to get you and you're not out to get me. So we can have that level of understanding. And this happens through processing all the other levels. Through you're processing, you know, shame, blame, guilt, anger, frustration, desire, you know, all those things. And then you get, it's just an amazing level where you're making conscious decisions.
I think something that I've noticed, you know, as I've worked through the scale and then kind of like sat back and observed some things, is there's this term like spiritual bypassing that comes up. And then there's that idea of shadow work. So spiritual bypassing is that like, oh, you know, let go and let God, or if you just have more love, everything will be okay and you can let it go. The crazy thing about these things are they're actually true and they can be hurtful depending on the level that the person that you're interacting with is living at and the level that you're living at. So if you say that if I'm living at acceptance and understanding, and I truly in myself, like, and I do, like, everything is guided. This is happening for a reason. We just have to kind of wait it out and make decisions using your intuition as they come up, and we'll be able to work through this. I'll be able to handle whatever comes up. That's a really hard line to give somebody who's living in fear, whose basic needs aren't met, who's living in shame and guilt and pain, because to them, they have no comprehension of what that could even mean. So it doesn't make it less real for me, but it does make it unavailable to them. So for them, they would be like, that's a line of BS. Like, you can't, like, all of that's going to feel like BS when you say it to me. But then you can get to a level where you're meeting somebody at acceptance and understanding, and they can say that to you, and it could invite a dialogue of, well, how could this be working to my advantage? How could I see the solution to this instead of it being as a problem? And this is where I think that nuance of, you can't just always say, you know, that person's mirroring something back to you. Like, for instance, with racism, it's like, well, you're a racist because you're calling me a racist. Nah! Like, that's not how that works. Like, if we're saying that back, we're in defense, we're in blame, we're in judgment of somebody else. So there's this, it's such a slippery scale. You really have to be in relationship with somebody to have these kind of conversations around acceptance and love. But I do find that in the wrong level of understanding, if you're not recognizing somebody's living in fear and actually living in real fear of like real things that are really damaging to them, and you say something to them because you believe that about your own little situation and how you are living your life, it can be incredibly damaging. And I would say you're probably not yet really in acceptance and understanding, because if you were, you would see the pain that they're in and be able to live with them at that level and not judge them, but just be like, yes, I accept that. My truth can still be true and your truth is true.
I think it's interesting and hopefully not confusing at all, but that's, you can still be, you can call yourself whatever you want. You can be at a lower level of pride, uh-huh, that, you know, I'm spiritual or I'm neutral or I'm understanding, and you have those conversations and you're not really listening. And I think when you get to this level where you really are behaving in acceptance and understanding, you're allowing the person to just be wherever they're at, and you're not better than them. You are equal no matter where somebody is on the scale. So pride is, I'm better than you. I'm more spiritual than you. Aren't I lucky that those things don't trigger me and they trigger you? Oh, poor you. So you're above. This acceptance is equal. No matter where you are on the scale, we are equals. We are both humans. We are both here together. I see you. I hear you. I'm not at the same level. And this is called empathy. I'm not at the same level as you, but I'm not better than you because at this particular time, I'm not hurting.
I think this is one of the more challenging. It's, you have to be so reflective, because I know for me, and still to this day, like, I live in a level in my own life of being at acceptance. Like, something happens or goes wrong and I'm like, okay, yep, yeah, we're gonna, like, we got it. We can cope. We can maintain, like, it's all working out. And also when I'm in disagreement, I know that for me, it's further invitation to lean into this. Am I being accepting? Am I being understanding that there's just as much truth in whatever's happening on that side as there is on my side? Because this is where it's like, when you get there, that's the synthesis that comes together for the next level, which we'll talk about in another podcast, which is love. And it's like an alchemy. It's like a chemistry experiment. It's like two things coming together. But if you only have one, sucked right back down into those lower levels, right? You're like hanging out in love and accept, or acceptance and understanding, bump into somebody who's not at the same level. And then you've got, it's like a decision. It's like the fork in the road.
That's what this level really is to me. It's a conscious decision about behavior. And it's a conscious decision to lean into pain. The pain of, oh, I've got to hear something I don't want to hear. I've got to listen to something I don't agree with. I've got to spend this amount of time with this person that's unpleasant, mm-hmm. or whatever that is. It's making that conscious choice. And that's why this is also the level of boundaries, of really yes. firm boundaries, because you get to choose who you do that with. This doesn't mean you give everyone your time, attention, and understanding and listening and blah, blah, blah. It means you are now at this level where that's who you are, and you get to choose who you're going to operate with at this level. This also is not pride. I'm better than all you guys, so I'm not spending time with you. No, this mm-hmm. is, I have this much time in my day. I have this much energy. These are my priorities. This is where I'm going to spend my time. These are the type of people I spend time with. These are the type of activities I participate in. It's just this, I mean, you could almost call it choice level.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't discuss that in the show notes.
But I think
it really
you're right.
Feels like we're talking about it. It's like, this is choice, boundaries. It's accepting all the things, but knowing that you get to choose what you hang out with. And so you choose to listen to the race issues because you want to participate. You want to spend your time there, and you're just listening, deciding.
And you're feeling into triggers in these things, whether it be race or politics or anything that's a hot, I mean, Facebook, anything that's like a powder keg.
According to 2020, there are 387
of these triggers
subjects that we can all talk about.
Like mushroom cloud type.
Like everything.
At understanding and acceptance, it is the choice to lean in. Oh, I'm triggered. Where can I lean into more acceptance and understanding right now? Where can I? It's like an invitation. But you have to have experienced the lower levels and have an understanding of what they are and what to do when they show up to give yourself the ability to actually make the choice. Otherwise, you're unconscious to them. You're just like all of a sudden angry, because that happens. You know, oh, I don't know if I agree with that. But my invitation at acceptance and understanding is, I don't agree with that. Okay, well, let's sit with that for a minute. Why don't I agree with that? What's coming up in me? What does that even mean? Because as we talk about the way to heal into this level, and we have a really good way to do it, you'll see that it is, Serena, you put this so succinctly before we started, because this level is the level of reason. You have to be able to be in your logic center. You have to be able to be in your reason. So you have to understand triggers. You have to understand the lower emotions and when they come up, and not react through them, but just be present to them and be able to hold them.
And the only way you can do that is because you've already worked through all the triggers, like at all the lower levels. And that's
And you can get your notes out. Do it again
well,
if needed.
It's understanding and it's wisdom and it's reason, because you're not coming like, oh, I never had to deal with it. You're like, I have been at the level mm-hmm. of shame. I've been at the level of grief. I've been at the level of anger. I'll probably be there next Tuesday. It's not this place of better than, or, you know, not understanding. And even that doesn't mean we've been through exactly what anybody's been through, you know, but it's this understanding that we know the process of leaning into these triggers and unpleasant emotions and working through them. And so as we get more and more cleared out and free and are able to move up the scale, we have more capacity to listen to other people and sit with them and be with them.
And it bears repeating that the lower levels, those lower emotional levels, particularly anger, which is really sticky, can become a little addictive. Hey friends, have you ever wanted to talk to us live? We thought so. Join us over on Facebook at The Whole Point Podcast, And when you're there, become a member of our Whole Point community. Once you join that group, you can join us live every Monday at 4 p.m. Central Time. We'll answer your questions, we'll talk, we'll laugh. We can't wait to see you there. So when we understand that, I mean, how did you phrase it? It's when the ego becomes spiritual.
Yeah, I've been listening to Alan Watts. So if anybody would like a big rabbit trail, I don't know. I love him very much.
Rabbit trail is probably the right way to phrase that. Yeah.
It's like consciousness and philosophy, if you like all that stuff.
He's at the level of reason. He's going to invite you to deeper and deeper acceptance and understanding is the way that I would think about it.
Mm-hmm. And also spirituality, which I really like, but it's Joe Dispenza says we're addicted to our emotions.
Oh too. Yeah. The habit breaking. He has that great book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
Of being yourself. Yeah. So in those lower levels, when we're, it's the cortisol and adrenaline and the anger and the fighting against and the, you know, having to prove yourself and having to prove other people wrong and having to show how smart you are and blah, blah, blah. That's all, it's effort. And
well, it's the body's natural uppers and downers, right?
And body. Yeah. And this is what you were saying that was so good. The lower levels are having the body kind of run the show. And you get addicted to these feelings. And so this is why neutrality is where we can process emotions and start to let go. And acceptance and understanding is where we can, it's kind of like you take your hands off and you say, okay. And you quit being addicted to all the fighting, whether it's fighting with yourself or other people. And you quit your stories. And you have an amazing technique for that. But you're quitting the habits of thought that you have to be against anything, right? Acceptance is like, there's nothing to be against up here at this level. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to be fighting. And so you don't need all that energy for that behavior. And so it actually starts to leave your body, the addiction. So our thoughts create our emotions, and that sends messages to our mitochondria inside of our cells to actually pump out chemicals. So we've been pumping out cortisol and adrenaline. What we're doing in this process is the ability to pump out the good chemicals. And so there's actually, it's that shift in what we become addicted to, because in essence, we become addicted to the good hormones and the happy hormones. Those are healthy. We actually kind of withdraw from the negative hormones.
Yeah, the difficult ones, we only use them when we need them, when there's an actual real difficult situation, right? You want to have adrenaline, you want to have cortisol when you need to like fight off an attacker or, you know, run away from like a deranged deer in your neighborhood. That would be my neighborhood if there was ever a deranged deer. You want to have those. They need to be available, but you don't want them on overdrive. You don't want them to be the seeking of, I mean, it really is like a bad drug. It's like, I'm going to go get some of this because I don't have access to serotonin and oxytocin. So I'm going to make anger, you know, and cortisol my addiction of choice. To really embody and understand that, when I was thinking about this, the scale as where the body fits in, where the intuition fits in, where the mind fits in, the healing of the mind and body really is what we're trying to accomplish with those lower emotions, healing out of the difficult emotions as like a level of living, as a life view. And then once we get healed into this higher level, into these higher emotional frequencies, feeling better, it's like very expansive up at the top of the scale, very like, this is where awareness lives. This is where your intuition is like, hello, you're back. It's so good to see you. Because you can hear it.
Your intuition was always talking, but your ears were clogged and with all of those lower emotions. And so, yeah, you start to hear it and your whole life starts to shift.
Okay. So let's clear it. What do we do? How do we get out of and into understanding and acceptance because we want to live in our authenticity? This is how you do it. We have a technique that we use, the authentic acceptance technique. We use this in coaching with clients, but we're going to tell you kind of how to DIY this at home. And so it takes a bit of understanding. It's thinking of things in a three-part perspective. So every situation, and we've all heard this before, right? There's your truth and their truth and then the real truth. This idea of like three, there's really three things that exist in any dispute. Well, this is really anything. So you can think of anything in your life in this way. So if you have a journal, just write this down. You're going to be doing some authentic acceptance, because what you're going to note, you're going to take any situation that's coming up in your life where you don't feel at the level of reason, of understanding and acceptance. You don't feel in your authenticity and you feel like this thing, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a something in your business that's blocking you. And you're going to take and look at it from three different perspectives. From your perspective, what's this, you know, basically like what's happening from there. But what we need to do as we do this is strip away any blame, shame, or guilt. So it might take you writing out your story. Write it out. What's going on? Get it all out on paper. And then I want you to think of that story as the blah, blah, blah. This is just a blah, blah, blah mind story about this. So you've got your story out. That's the blah, blah, blah. So if you need to reference it in the future as you're doing this work, you're not going to tell the whole story to yourself again or dip back into it. You're just going to be like, oh, yep, blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to look at it from these three perspectives. You're going to figure out what really happened to me, like what actually happened, what's the facts here. And then you're going to look at it from the other person's perspective, because generally there's two, whether this is your business or somebody that works in your business, or maybe it's a loved one, somebody, there's generally, this is happening because there's antagonism between people, it's a random aunt on Facebook, whoever it is. And you're going to write from their perspective, what happened from their perspective, without blame, without judgment, none of that. That's all the blah, blah, blah. What really happened? What's going on for them? And then you're going to take a third perspective, the perspective of the observer. And you're going to step out and be like, what's really happening here? What has really happened here? Now, remember, any story, any blame, any judgment, any of that, that's the blah, blah, blah. That's the stuff we're just going to set aside. Write it down if you need to get it out of the way. And then you're going to do this three-part perspective. Because when you do this, you get enough separation from the experience, you're literally forcing yourself into understanding and acceptance, because that third perspective takes you out and up. I even picture it like I'm observing from above, like I've got like a little satellite, or like I'm a, I don't know, a spirit watching over the situation. I could be like, oh yeah, Serena, I can, yep, definitely Serena's feelings got hurt. And oh, look, you know, she's trying to make her point. And oh, here's Christy. Oh gosh, her feelings are hurt too. And she was trying to make her point. Oh, okay, what's really going on? Oh, there's two women that are in a miscommunication. Huh, well, that's interesting. And all the rest of that is kind of like blah, blah, blah. And it forces you into this area of acceptance and understanding. And the story melts away. And what you're left with is this level of reason, this ability to be like, okay, so now that I know that, I can see this from this different perspective, who am I really in this situation? And you can invite yourself back in with understanding for the other person and understanding of what's really going on. And that's that level. That's an emotionally uncharged level that is higher frequency energetically.
I think if we had neutrality as the tightrope, and we can we can fall either way. We're going to fall into the pride and anger level because we don't want to let go, or we're going to lean into the pain. It's actually emotionally uncomfortable to lean into letting go of our story. They're both painful, and the level of the acceptance is way less painful, but in those moments, you know, our ego is like, hold on to it. They're wrong. It's unjust, and they should never have done that. You know, and that is the tool that you just gave, allows you to tip and end up in the level of acceptance and understanding, which is freedom. Or that story is boulders. That story is weight. That story is heavy. That story is painful. That story is dragging you down and keeping you from hearing your intuition, keeping you from reaching your goals, keeping you from being authentic. You're not authentic at that level. And it's releasing it. And it's always been a mystery to me that going to a place that feels better has this tension of everything in us screaming, don't let it go. I don't know how you are. But that's how, you know, and that's what I've learned over the years, that voice gets quieter and quieter and I can let it go. But that tool is so, so powerful because we love those stories. They become our pets, right? And we kind of snuggle with them and we chew on them. Like, you know, Jess Lively talks about our mind wanting a bone to chew and gnaw on, you know, and it's not accomplishing anything. That is a habit that this process and life is always leading you to let go and release those stories to get to that level, because now you're free to be you. And now when you're at that higher perspective of the observer, you see the other person is also just trying to accomplish their goals. They are not evil and they are not all against you.
Free to be them too. That's the weird part about authenticity, is that there's also one thing that's kind of like, ooh, that's a little bit tough to swallow, is you have to also let other people be whoever they're going to be. Doesn't mean you have to let them have bad behavior towards you, because we always remember identity, or who a person really is at a soul level, is different from their behaviors they're doing. And behaviors can be bad and destructive and they need to be resolved. But the person behind them, there's a soul in there. There's a person that's probably hurt or in pain. And then this is where that empathy comes in. That third perspective requires you to be like, okay, I'm going to make the choice. I'm not going to like it. I'm just going to make the choice. I'm going to leave the blah, blah, blah behind. And I'm just going to see what could be going on over there. Right? You don't have to do it and be like, I'm so excited to see, like, you know, what this person's got going on in their brain, because it is hard, especially if you feel hurt.
Allowing somebody else to be themselves and accepting this is who you are, and you're doing behaviors I don't like, again, that's an invitation to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. And if they're hurting you, somewhere you haven't had a good boundary. And so it's this empowerment too, to be, it's that radical responsibility, that idea that I'm going to be responsible for who I am and my feelings and my story, and not telling a story that's no longer serving me. And I'm going to let you be responsible for you and create a boundary if someone has a pattern of behavior that's not helpful. Because when you're at the lower levels of just fighting, you're not making any boundaries. You're just hanging out with someone that may be driving you crazy, or maybe isn't healthy, or, you know, operating in ways that aren't healthy. Whether it's a physical boundary of not seeing them anymore, most of the time it's a mental and emotional boundary of what's allowed in and to affect your life and all that kind of stuff. So we're
really
allowed
powerful
to be, we're allowed to be free, and everybody else is allowed to be free. We're no longer like connected by all these strings to people.
Yeah. That's what it is. I had a client recently who were working on healing some self-love and worthiness things. And she had a realization about a struggle that was going on in her marriage. She's like, oh, the more I've loved myself, I realize he also is deserving of love and respect. And neither of us are getting that in this relationship. So I was always worried about what would happen if I had to end the relationship. And I realized at one point, oh my gosh, that could be the best thing for him. Whether he would know that or not is not my responsibility. But she had this moment, I was like, that's actually a really beautiful thing, because it didn't come from a place of like resisting and anger and love. She was really like, I feel like I have that level of understanding that like he deserves good things too, not just me.
Esther Hicks gives such a good example of life is a stream of abundance and we're just floating on our little boat in the stream, and it will automatically take us where we want to go. It's automatically taking you to your goals, to a healthy life, to amazing relationships, to abundance, to all those things. And the only time we're not is when we're paddling upstream. And so this is the idea, that if you're going to hold on to those stories, you're paddling upstream. And it's when you let
go. And perhaps dragging someone else's boat with you.
You may have a whole entourage of things that you're paddling up that stream with. Yeah, yeah. And so you let go. And then it takes you, like that beautiful example with your client, it's going to take her to a more peaceful, joyful life with or without the partner. She made a story that we have to stay together because what would happen if we didn't stay together? And here we are, blah, 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 blah. But when you make the story say blah, 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 and you let go, you're going to be moving. So it's not always easy to let go.
No.
I always say I was like a pit bull holding on, you know, they'll hold on till they die. It had to get like that, almost that bad before I would let go. And then it's amazing. You're letting go to like all you ever wanted. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. It's totally crazy. Like what you're letting go to is love and joy and peace and acceptance and reaching your goals and your why.
And that's, folks, that's how you get you some authenticity right there. That's it. That's what you're letting go towards. We think we have to go there. It's in us. We have to just let go of everything that we're literally blah, blah, blahing about. Right?
Absolutely.
So honestly, that's all we got for you. Like that's the whole thing. That's how you get to authenticity. Piece by piece, let go of the stories.
And step two is enjoy it. Figure out who you are. What do I like? Who do I want to spend my time with? How do I want to spend my time? How do I want to work with people? What do I want in my bucket list? Like, what do I want to do before I'm done with this life? How do I want to dress? It's two things. You let go of those lower levels that are holding you back. And then you get to make all these choices and these decisions. And it gets really, really fun. Who are you? And that might be your second assignment. Let's make a list. What do you like? Who are you? Who do you want to be around? What would be fun?
I was on a call actually earlier today, and the person I was on the call with said, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? Like, what do you like to do? And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like when you're a grown-up. She was very lovingly asking it. Like, it was such a lovely question. And I just took the second to be like, what do I love to do? Like, what does light me up? And my gosh, Serena, that invitation, listeners, make that, go ahead and let your blah, blah, blahs go. Get your third perspective in there as the observer. And then write down without all that, what do you love? What do you like? What do you want more of? And you might be surprised at what comes up.
Were you in your own life?
It was interesting because it was all things that I knew, but she reflected them back to me. She said, so what I'm hearing is that you really enjoy spending time with your family and you really enjoy, you know, growing your own knowledge base. Because I do. I love that kind of stuff. She's like, you get a lot of joy out of being in nature. And when she said it back to me, like immediately my intuition was like, you should go outside today. You should take your kids with you. You should do something that marries all of these things together and ties them up in a little bow. And it doesn't have to take 6 hours. You don't have to go anywhere else to do it. You could literally go do this for 15 minutes today. So that's what happened for me. But that's a real big allowing, right, Serena? That's like a listing and then being like, how can this show up for me today? Which that same perspective, that life view, if somebody made this list and looked at it from a lower life view perspective, they might make the list and say, none of these things are available to me right now.
They don't have permission. This is the biggest thing for me. It's the allowing and the permission. Like for me, I love to just sit and read. Mm-hmm. And at a lower level at fear, well, that's not enough. You're not going to make any money. How are you going to do that? You know, you need to be doing something else, cleaning the house or whatever. But at this level, I like to read. So I'm going to sit and read for a half hour. I'm going to walk for a half hour and I'm going to listen to a book. And it's just having this wonderful, pleasant life. You know, as far as law of attraction goes, when you get up to this level, you start to attract abundance. You start to be trusting and allowing, right? Esther Hicks has the art of allowing, and good, wonderful things start to come into your life.
And you let the circumstances fall away, because I could have easily made that list today and thought to myself, I like hiking in Utah. I like, you know, all the things that I can't do today, but my mind, because the level that I'm personally have cultivated, this is not where I always live, but personally cultivate and continue to cultivate on a daily basis is, how can this be available to me right now? How can I make this easy? And making it easy isn't that I have to be circumstantially in the red rocks of Utah to really love hiking and being outdoors. It can be like, yeah, you know, it's not raining outside. 50 degrees, but it's not raining outside. So there's an invitation for me to step outside because the joy and the being lit up doesn't have anything to do with the red rocks. Yeah, that's ideal. I love that. But it just has to do with me being a part of nature. And so it's like, knock, knock, Christy, you're invited to go outside today. Like the door, your front door works, step on out.
It's fascinating because if our reticular activating system, did you know, I did a little research, there's like 40 million bits of information coming into our eyeballs at any moment, 50 million, and like 40 get in from all of that.
Because the Raz is like, I got you, girl. It's like blocking. It's like a karate guy, like blocking things out.
So we're moving to instructing our Raz, and our Raz is getting programmed to, how could this be fun? How could I do what I love, which is to hike in the Red Rocks specifically, but how could I do that in a general way today? How could my day be lovely? How can I be more connected with my family, with my partner, with myself? And it's really amazing. It's amazing, amazing to me. It's a whole nother level. And the idea that the levels, the energetic levels go up exponentially. You really...
And that's where at this level of acceptance and understanding, you actually get a more vast array of experiences available to you, because the next thing the Raz is, says my Raz is like, well, what's the solution? How could you have this now? Not how is this being taken from you, which is even saying it feels dense and downward. It feels very expansive to be like, oh, my Raz is programmed now to be like, well, how can I have it right now? Like, it's available to me in some way. Some part of this is available. Where is it? And it will find it for me, right? It looks out the window. It's like, oh, green trees, go.
It's fun.
It is fun. So we're going to be back live on the Whole Point community talking about this Mondays, 4 p.m. Central Time. Bring your questions. Maybe you're stuck in the blah, 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 and you need somebody to help you in this place. Maybe you need an invitation to open your awareness a little bit. That's what these community lives are for. You just have to join that Facebook group, go into the Whole Point podcast on Facebook, and then we have a group in there that you can join, and you can join us live. Or even watch the live, see if your questions are answered or if we acted silly on live, which we probably will.
And yeah, if you have any questions or anything that you took from this that maybe you are practicing or you did different, I find all my clients need permission to rest, permission to go for a walk, permission to just let go of the stories. So are there any ways that this conversation shifted one little thing in your life? We would love to hear about that. And I'm so excited. We get to start today. It's our first day. Obviously not when this recording comes out. It will be a few weeks ago, but I'm so excited.
Me too. I really am too. I love having these conversations with you, Serena, and we love making these podcasts, and we can't wait to hear what we say next time. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for listening.
That was wicked funny.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. Leave us a review, subscribe so more people can find us.
And if you want more information about me or Christy, there's a link to both of our websites in the show notes. And we'll see you next time.